Hello and welcome to this edition of Deeper. It's great to have you with us today. And we're doing it differently. Here we are in person, side by side. Well, it says side by side on the screen, but on the other side of Southport. So we just thought we'd try it this way, just for a change. It's great to have Beck with us again. Hello, Beck.
Hello.
It's really strange. Normally Beck's on the screen in front of me, and now she's at the side. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. So we're going to be looking at the passage we talked about on Sunday, which is Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 6, which was all about the development of the Missional Life course, thinking about hospitality. But today we're going to look at the whole of the passage and look at what it all says. So I'd love you to read that passage, Hebrews 13, 1 to 6, and then restart the video. So here we go. Let's see how we get on doing it this way. Beck, it's a funny last chapter, isn't it?
It is. It's an interesting sort of... So this sort of follows on, chapter 13 sort of follows quite closely
from
the end of 12. Yeah. It does follow on from 12, but it also sort of links back a little bit with what happens at the end of chapter 12. And it's really all about how are we to express our love for one another as Christians, how are we to sort of live together and live in the world
well. And it's kind of random list of things. The whole chapter is kind of all different things that the writer just wanted to say to his readers about basically how to live life, really.
Yeah.
So verses 1 to 6, we're going to go through it verse by verse, let's look at verse 1. Really simple. Keep on loving each other as brothers, and I assume he means sisters as well.
Yes. Probably.
Yeah. Anything you want to say about that verse?
So I think that use of brothers and sisters or brothers is quite important. It says something about the relationship that they should be having with one another, the way that they should be viewing each other. And that sort of lays the foundations then for everything else that it's going to say.
That's right. Everything else kind of builds on that verse, doesn't it? And the Greek word, you know, I love throwing in a bit of Greek, for love here is Philadelphia. And that basically means brotherly love, obviously, because that's how it's translated. But it's very practical. So whenever that use of the word comes up, it is always in a very practical nature. And of course, we see that in this passage where it's very practical. So that's the start of it. That's the kind of the basis here. It's the writer saying, let's start with love. And then it goes into what I preached on yesterday, verse 2. What do you want to say about it?
So don't forget to show hospitality for strangers. Who are the strangers?
Yeah.
Well, so I think a bit later on, we've sort of talked a little bit about they're brothers and sisters, so presumably they're not, in the next verse, strangers. So this is potentially to all kinds of different people who you might come across, people who need to be looked after. The word for hospitality, I'm going to do a little
Greek. Go on, do a little bit of Greek, go on.
Translated hospitality. Is widely used to mean receiving a stranger as a guest. So that's a sort of basic idea of how we might go about being hospitable to strangers.
Yeah. And it was really important in these days that people were hospitable, because people had to travel around quite a bit, and the inns weren't the most reputable places to stay, and actually they were quite costly, so most people couldn't afford to and really didn't want to stay in an inn, and so they would look for people to put them up, and so it became part of the whole culture of the day to make space for strangers. I was reading in one place, one woman had 30 tables of food laid out every day for strangers.
Wow.
Which is pretty impressive. That is hospitality at another level, isn't it? It says in this verse that sometimes we entertain angels without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that?
So I think it's probably a bit of an echo back to Abraham, who entertains some angels who bring some news to them about a baby that Sarah will bear in Genesis. But it's also just quite an exciting idea, isn't it? That yeah. you might, you know, in the people that you interact with, that God will send people and angels your way to sort of be part That's right. of your life.
And the thing I like about this as well, because often when we think about hospitality or entertaining or opening up our home, it's kind of about what we give, and sometimes that's what makes us reluctant to do it, but here the writer's saying you actually might receive by opening your home.
Mm-hmm.
There's something powerful in that, that, you know, when we open our homes, we can get as much out of it as those who we open our homes to.
And I think that plays into our whole understanding of hospitality. So I love this quote from Pete Gregg about hospitality. And he says, "People tell me they have the gift of hospitality, by which they mean they have a beautiful home in which they enjoy entertaining guests, who confirm just how lovely their home is. This is not the gift of hospitality. This is the gift of a box of chocolates."
Wow, yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah.
I love that. It links in with what you've just said about, you know, what we receive as well. If we view hospitality as some kind of huge effort thing that we, you know, we invite people into something beautiful and we give them lots of things, then it will be quite a strain to live that way.
Yeah.
But if we view hospitality as a way of sharing our life and possessions with each other, then it's actually much easier to do. If your house doesn't have to be perfect to have people in it, if you don't have to have a beautiful meal, if you can share beans on toast and be quite happy, then hospitality will be a bit easier
right.
to do.
And, you know, it is more than simply the food, isn't it? You know, and when you think about hospitality in scripture, you know, there's the whole Martha Mary thing.
Mm.
You know, where Martha was, you know, really focused on trying to make sure it was a great environment, you know, get the food done, get the dishes done, all that kind of stuff. But what did Jesus say? It was much more important that Mary sat and listened. And hospitality is always about relationship.
Yeah.
It's not about how it looks. It's not about how it tastes. It's always about relationship and building relationship. And if you follow the Mission Life course, you know, turning enemies into friends and that kind of thing. So it's much more about that, and we need to see hospitality as that. Often people talk about the potential for kind of the whole thing about hospitality being abused by others. And I came across this quote from the Didache, which is a first century document. Didache actually means teaching. And it's kind of like, it's almost like canon law. And in it, it says, invite an apostle into your home. If they want to stay more than 3 days, they're a false prophet, which is really, and if they ask for money, they are a false prophet. So even back then, there was kind of boundaries in place to stop people abusing others' hospitality. And we always need to be wise about hospitality, but hospitality is something that's key to scripture. Should we move on to verse 3? Because then there's another development of what it means to have brotherly love or sisterly love.
That's right. So this is where we get on to those in prison and sharing in their suffering, as literally sort of imagining yourself in their place and putting yourself in their place. This is probably talking about fellow Christians who are in prison for their faith. But it's useful for us to think yeah. about just people who are in that position that's really vulnerable, that's really difficult, and how we're going to act and react to them.
Yeah. And of course, the writer's probably especially thinking about Christians who've been imprisoned for their faith. And it's, you know, out of sight, out of mind in a lot of ways, isn't it? You know, it's there's a thing here in both the hospitality thing and also the prisoners about not forgetting. And the words are simply to lose sight of it, to lose memory of it, and that's easy. If you're not conscious of it, then we forget to open our homes, and we forget to care for those who are in prison.
Absolutely. And so in this case, if you were imprisoned, somebody had to take care of you, so they were probably having to sort of take food to people, take clothing, the things that they needed, a basic sort of care for them. And that's risky because if you're, you know, Steve's in prison for being a Christian and I keep turning up all the time with food for him, then pretty soon they're going to arrest me for being a Christian too. Yeah, so there's this risk to it, but also, to, you know, being committed enough to one another that we're going to take care of each other anyway.
And there's a lovely thing in this verse as well. You know, it says, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and remember those who are treated as if you yourselves were suffering. And it's a really helpful thing to do, to try and put yourselves into the shoes of the people that you're thinking about. And this goes back to the thing about justice that you did. You know, that if we're able to put ourselves in their shoes, then in some way we know how they feel and how we might help and how we can offer support and encouragement. And I think that's a good thing to do on any area of ministry. You know, put yourself into the shoes of those who you're looking to serve. And then it goes on to something kind of different. I mean, verses 4 and 5, I would say, are about kind of purity and holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 4 is about marriage. Do you want to go first on that?
Yeah, so it does hop around a little bit. But as we hop on to marriage, I think it, obviously this is about holiness, it's about the way that we're required to live as Christians, but I think it's also about community. So it says marriage should be honoured by all, and there's something in there again about relationship, about being connected to one another, supporting one another. That marriage, when, you know, in the marriage service we talk about you as the people who come to the wedding are committing to support this couple as they journey through life together. And so there's something in there about caring for one another and holding one another up in that pursuit of marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. And then verse 5 talks about keeping ourselves free from the love of money. You know, this, the often misquoted thing is, you know, people say that money is the root of all evil. It's not. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And again, this is about purity and holiness. It's about being content in what we have in Christ and trusting him for the things that we need and trusting him for the things that we want. And in both of these things, there's a real, I think, kind of countercultural thing, mm-hmm. even in the day of Hebrews, but especially today. It's quite countercultural, isn't it? In terms of both marriage and money, two big things that people have a very different take on these days and have lost some of the Christian content of what we believe around these things. Go on, Julia.
Well, it just reminded me what we talked last week a little bit about living simply as well and just quietly getting on with life. And sometimes the sort of the glamorous thing to do in our culture, you know, is chase after money and relationships.
Yeah,
and actually this kind of simplistic way of living that God calls us to, it is really important, isn't it? And it is really countercultural.
Yeah. And so, some of the background for this might even be, especially around the money bit, that Christians were having property and possessions taken off them because they were Christians. And the writer's saying, you know, this has happened, so learn how to be content with what you now have. And contentment is such a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think if we're able to be content no matter what we have and in every situation, then you actually have a huge gift, because not many people are content. And let's go on to the second half of that verse 5 and also verse 6, which are saying the same thing, really. So we can be content because God's always with us. He never leaves us.
And this is sort of echoing back again to Old Testament, so that this letter is to the Hebrews. This is a Jewish Christian community. And this is taking them back again to, you know, God is faithful to you. God is good to you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to keep you. You can say, that the Lord is my helper and I don't need to be afraid, even in this persecution, even with all this challenge around, you know that God has always been faithful to you.
That's right. And you know, with all the things that we've talked about, you know, the promise is that the Lord will help you. You know, so whether that is trying to love your brothers and sisters, or offering hospitality, or caring for prisoners, or honouring marriage, or keeping yourself free from the love of money, the Lord is your helper. And you know, it's not about us trying to do stuff in our own strength. And you know, the last couple of weeks we've tried to say this, that whether it's trying to be a Christian at work, whether it's trying to do the right thing in all the stuff that we've talked about today, the Lord's your helper. And you don't do it in your own strength, and you don't do it in your own way. We try to follow the Lord in all of this. So we're going to move on to the application of this and just pick up on some key points. And we're going to go a little bit wider. So what does all this mean for us? So let's go a little bit wider. I'm going to go first. First thing is for us to think through, what does it mean to actually love our brothers and sisters? Because here, it's not about a feeling, is it? It's about doing it in practice. It's about doing the things that help those brothers and sisters in their time of need, or even to help grow in faith. It's about how we have to think through how we connect to our brothers and sisters and show them love. And it is about showing love. It's not about feeling love. Because pretty much all the scripture talks about love in very practical terms. And so we need to think through that a little bit.
Absolutely. So showing hospitality as an expression of love for one another, how does that change how we've maybe previously thought about it? You know, those challenges to sort of be available even when it's a bit messy or we haven't got everything in order. And then this is all about application, this passage, isn't it? It's literally a set of instructions. But to do any of it, you have to be living in a fairly connected way with one another, yeah. Don't you? You have to be connected into a Christian community to have brothers and sisters who you're sharing your life with, but also be connected into people on the outside of that community to be able to show hospitality to strangers.
Absolutely. You know, it is all about connection. It's all about this being a way of life, and we cannot live life as a missional Christian if we are not connected to firstly our brothers and sisters, but also those outside of the church. So it's choosing to make this a lifestyle, and probably for most of us, COVID interrupted that for us. You know, so you may remember probably about 3 or 4 years ago, we had a whole sermon series around hospitality and encouraging you to eat together in different ways. And we know that the pandemic stopped that. So how can you regain that? That's something for you to think through now. How do you regain that again and start to make this a lifestyle? And then the final thing in terms of application is just the importance of living a holy life. That comes out here, and it comes out in a strange way, doesn't it? Because it's not simply about the things that we sometimes think about being free from sin, but here it's about being free from the love of money, honoring marriage, opening our homes in terms of hospitality, loving those in prison. It's those kind of things as well, and so we need to make sure that we work hard at living lives that are distinctly different from those outside of the church. And that will be something for all of us to work through. That's hard work, though, isn't it? Mm. None of us are great at that. It's hard work. So we're going to give you some questions to think about and go a little bit further. So here's some questions for you to consider in your mission communities or on your own. I'm going to go first. Why do you think the writer includes hospitality in this list? Because in some ways it would seem like perhaps the least important of all the things he talks about, but he includes and includes it quite powerfully. So why do you think he includes it in the list, and how important do you think it is to the writer? So that's the first question.
OK, Okay, next question. Do you identify with that Pete Greg quote about dinner parties and gifts of chocolate? And if so, what might you do differently in future to sort of have a more biblical view of hospitality?
Great. Next one.
We talked about how important it is to be living in a connected way to be able to work any of this stuff out. How well connected are you to other Christians and to people outside of our community of faith as well? Do you share enough life with other people to be able to support one another?
It's a good question. I would encourage you to spend some time on that question, because in terms of the whole missional life thing that we're talking about, that's kind of key. So final one builds on that. So how does hospitality become missional for you? So just together, think through how opening your homes, having meals with other people, hospitality, as you've heard me say, can include all sorts of things. Not simply about having a meal in your home or whatever. It might be offering a room to someone. It might be taking someone out for a meal, or simply taking someone for a coffee. It could be all of those things. How do you make hospitality missional? Great, so that's our time up now. So we're going to encourage you to think through these things. And what we're going to do now is we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray for you and pray that God turns your heart around and enables you to live a missional life. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you call us to live a life that is distinctly different, a life that reaches out and connects with those outside of faith. Help us, Lord, to live that life. Help us to think through how hospitality can be used by you in order to connect with and reach out to those who don't know you yet. Help us to be that kind of people, Lord. Help us to overcome our fears and our anxieties around it, and help us to focus on the call that you have placed upon our lives to be an open people, a hospitable people, a welcoming people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Beck. It's been great to have you all with us today. Do please join us again on Sunday or the following week for another edition of Deeper. I don't know whether we'll do it this way or the other way. We'll see how this goes.
You could drop us a comment and let us know what you think about our funky backdrop.
Yeah. It's a different dynamic, so we'll just try it out and see how it goes. So until we see you again, take care and goodbye.